My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions. Click the link in the description now.
Man, what do you want to talk about?
The evolution thing. I think you got that wrong.
Fair enough. I respect your opinion. So where am I wrong? Talk to me about it.
So I haven't been watching your live for very long, so I don't know what your specific gripe is, but I mean, you reject it. And I would say that, no, we have extraordinarily robust evidence that evolution does occur.
See, this is why I want you here. What is that? I want to know. I'd love to know.
Answer your question, arrive at your question by asking you a question, if that's okay. And yeah, I would say, sure. What I would say is, what I like to ask people is, if evolution was true, what would the evidence look like?
If evolution was true, what would the evidence look like? Well, I think there'd be traces that are traceable genetically and through history. I think that'd be a good one.
Oh yeah, we definitely have that.
Oh, show me. That's what I want to know. What do you got?
So if evolution is true, it'd mean that all life on the planet is related because it evolved, and all life on the planet evolved from a common ancestor in the very, very, very deep past. You agree with that?
So can I give you my position on that?
Sure.
I'm a retired tattoo artist, so I've painted a bunch of pictures, done a lot of tattoos, and I use the same type of, some people use Starbright, some use Eternal. I mean this like respectfully, I'm just giving you my position. You could look at my tattoos as opposed to my son's tattoos, and you're going to see a common thread. I use the same ink. I have the same style, and he has a different style with a different ink, but his first tattoo didn't become his last tattoo.
Well, yeah, but we know that organisms reproduce, whereas tattoos don't reproduce, so it's not a very appropriate analogy, I don't think.
Okay, so how does reproduction make something that was something it is today, though? Because he made
through evolution. But if we can go back to, you said there would be traces of it in the gene, or there would be like genetic traces of it. And yeah, an implication of evolution is that all life on the planet is related. Now, if all life on the planet is related, you can test that by doing genetic studies. And we know that all forms of life on the planet share genes. And so, the amount of DNA that they share is exactly what you'd expect given the classification systems that were developed like 200 years ago plus.
Are you talking about the 99.9%? We are 99, I think it's like 99.9% the same gene as apes. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, for us, it's 98.2% or 0.6%, I believe, is the number with chimps. But no, it's actually for all life. So we share more genes with the great apes than any other form of life. And then we share more with primates than any other kind of mammal, so on and so forth. Exactly what the taxonomic system, the amount of DNA we share, genes with organisms, exactly matches the taxonomic brackets we were placed in a really long time ago before we had the ability to test whether or not those groupings are like scientifically sound.
Cindy, I'll let you in just a minute. If you could hang tight, I will. I'll be happy to. So don't go anywhere. So we have the same creator. So we have what's called, like, if you listen to the arc, when I said two kinds, one on the arc, that's the family level. Now we have, let me just say this, there's canine felines, a good example. There's different species of canine, German Shepherd, Poodle, short hair, long hair, different variations, long hair, short hair. Some die off in the hot weather, some die off in the cold weather. You end up with certain dogs in certain parts of the world. So I get the gene pool has variations, but here's what doesn't happen. The variations will, you know, let's say there's an A and a B. We'll just call the genes A and B. You might have an ABB, a BAB, but you never have an X and an A. That's not, so you don't get a new gene. So there might be variations because we have one same common creator, but within those variations, you don't have one gene becoming the other gene. That's the idea of Darwin evolution. And there's no scientific proof ever in existence.
Oh, no, there absolutely is. I mean, I can tell you about some of it.
I'd love to know what it is.
But the thing about, like, genetic similarities, that's not evidence of a creator, because that ideal was never proposed. In science, we make specific predictions and then we try to find evidence. Like, we either do experiments or we just search nature for this evidence. And genetic similarities, what we definitely know that is evidence of is relatedness, because that's really the only thing that genetics tells you about, is the degree to which two things are related. So if, like, evolution could have been disproven with genetics, because if no form of life on the planet was related except for, like, really tight groups that you call the families or whatever, then that would be that would have disproven what we thought about evolution. The fact that the genetic similarities or whatever are universal is very excellent supporting evidence of universal common descent. The whole common design thing is just completely post hoc. Well, like, well, God may have done that. Well, God may have done anything, or, you know, a magical leprechaun could have done it too, but it's not evidence of that. That's a post hoc interpretation of the data. So you can respond to that if you want to, and then I can tell you about, like, evidence of genes or whatever.
So I don't know if so here's the thing. So forgive me, I'm not educated in everything out there in the world, obviously, but I've done a lot of research, and so I don't know if this is going to necessarily respond to your specific statement, but it might. I don't know if this will kind of lend to it. Let me just do a side conversation really quick. Think about a giraffe. A giraffe that has this system in its neck. And I'm getting to something that's going to point to what you're talking about, so just bear with me. You know, roughly, I think it bends its head down 11 feet when it eats. It's like 11 feet upward. It's a range of about 22 feet on average. And so in its neck, they have these spongy materials every so often, so that when they lift their head, that the blood doesn't rush to the head and they don't pass out. Does that make sense? They have a system that delegates. You see where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah, I wrote a book and I talk about this in my book.
Okay, so let me just say for the people listening, for educational purposes, so if there was an in-between phase in any way, shape, or form of a giraffe at all, the giraffe wouldn't exist, because there is no process in between that would keep the giraffe from dying. So how would a giraffe, and the other thing is with a monkey, if we came from monkeys, they have to die to evolve, right? So why are they still, let me just finish. I was willing to listen to you.
No, yeah. If we come from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? I know where you're going.
Well, that's just one thing. But just because we have similar traits, like with four-chambered heart as a mammal, that doesn't make one mammal become the other mammal. It just means God made different versions of mammals.
Well,
and there's no proof otherwise.
Well, no. The fact that we share structures and genes is what was predicted by evolution. The Bible never predicted that we would share DNA with other organisms. Again, that's just a post hoc rationalization. But to your thing about the giraffe, it's not an irreducible complexity argument, but it's a, what do you call this? I'm actually not sure. But anyways, so giraffes, they have to have valves in their neck, because otherwise when they bend over, the blood pressure will hemorrhage their brain. But there's no reason for the giraffe to have valves in its neck if it doesn't have a long neck. Therefore, there's no creative process that could have created giraffes to have the necks that they have today. So, like, we just simply know matter-of-factly that this is false, because horses, if they bend their head down, they do not have necks long enough to cause enough blood pressure to hemorrhage their brains. But horses do have valves in their necks. We have valves in our veins all over our body, but they're pretty much all of them are in the veins below your heart, and that's to allow the blood to sort of squeeze up bit by bit so that it can return to the heart. It literally only takes a weird quirk. It's what we would call a micro mutation, right? To get a valve from a vein. Yeah, just micro. It takes a really small change to get valves in veins below the heart to valves in veins above the heart, because the genetic, the symphony of the way genes are expressed during development is really complex, but even microscopic changes like that can cause something like valves to be in veins that don't typically have them. I mean, people are born with six fingers on one hand, for crying out loud.
So things
like that can happen. So
those are diversities, not to interrupt you. Sorry. That's not a gene thing. By the way, I have a couple people in queue. I want to make sure to be fair to everybody. I didn't forget you. I'm going to give Planet here just another minute or two. Those types of variations aren't original genes being interjected. That's just a mutation of a gene that already exists.
That's possible, but what other things we do know that happen are genes get duplicated, and then one of the duplicated genes can evolve to eventually where the point where it can have a radically different expression in the organism. Like crustaceans, you know, they have five pairs of limbs, whereas insects only have three pairs of limbs, and other arthropods have many segments of limbs. And we've studied their genes, and we can clearly see that it's duplications of pre-existing Hox genes that are the reason why they have those extra segments. But like in crustaceans,
they're mutating. Not to interrupt you, I'm sorry. But the issue is it's still the same genes. It's a mutation. But I have another 60 seconds to be fair. But it's still a genetic mutation. It's not a new gene. I'm not trying to be rude, but I appreciate your insight. Well,
it does become a new gene once it's been mutated. Another example is.
But it's not original. It's just that the gene is just mutating. It's not a new gene.
Yeah, but it becomes a new gene. You can't get new genes unless pre-existing genes either get copied or mutate. I mean, that's just, there's no possible way for extra DNA to, or for new expressions of genes to even exist. So you can't just kill the argument by saying, yeah, but that's not new stuff. The only way you can get new stuff is by changes in pre-existing stuff.
So really, really quick, let me answer that, and then I have to go to the next person, to be fair. But the thing is, when you take mustard and mayo, they taste, they're different. When you put them separately, they're different. But when you mix them, it's not just a new flavor. It's actually an actual new flavor comes from that, but it's still the original mustard and mayo. But I do have to be fair, Planet. Dude, I love the conversation, but I want to be fair to everybody else. Okay, brother?
All right.
But hey, thank you so much, man. I hope you're blessed. I really enjoyed the conversation with you, brother.